Joseph.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo, good afternoon, man.
Ed, good afternoon to you too, sir. Do you want to talk about the elephant that's in the room?
Well, the elephant that's in the room, I guess, is that we're not in the same room.
And, as
you guys know, Bo and I have been recording episodes kind of in batches all over the country, right, for almost the past year, I guess. And
that's about right. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's funny. We'll get together at these different places and record a bunch of episodes and get to spend time with each other, go out on the town and make some good memories and put some good content together for you guys. And anyway, so this is actually one we're doing remotely. And it feels very vintage, you know. It's just kind of
all the technical problems that could go along with it.
Yeah, we're going back in the day, man. I had to reacquaint myself with how to use all this technology, and yeah, so here I am on my MacBook looking at a video of my brother Bo 500 miles away, and yeah, man, we're just doing it, you know, like we did back in the day. So
yeah,
here we are.
We'll do it recorded.
We'll do it recorded. Screw it, we'll do it recorded.
There it is. Well, man, I'm very excited to be with you today for a number of reasons, but I'm very excited to be able to share something on this week's episode of Country Squire Radio. Before we hit the record button, I pulled the curtain back and showed you some things that folks hadn't been able to see yet.
It's exciting. Yeah, no, you got really fired up, and I'm fired up for you.
Thanks, brother. All right, so our listeners, y'all have heard on previous episodes kind of some teasing out and of this project I've been working on at findeversale.com. And today we are launching the Kickstarter for a brand new audio drama series from Podastery. This is a fictional immersive audio series. It is a pirate themed kind of fantasy, but not like high fantasy, but it's like takes place in a fictional universe.
Yeah.
And in the world, quote unquote, the world of Eversale. And it's called The Pirate's Daughter. And, you know, when we did our episode on Captain Jack Rackham, I mentioned like a lot of pulling from inspiration from all of these different historic pirates from the Golden Age and all that kind of good stuff. And I'm just, man, you have no idea how excited I am to finally talk about this project and get it out there. And it is launching today. So if you go to findeversale.com today, you can learn all about this project. You can see some of the people that are working on it. You can find out, you know, you can see the album art. There's a wonderful video of there, me talking about the origins of where the story comes from and what our plans are. We've got big dreams and we need your help to make it happen. So if you go to findeversale.com, that'll take you to our Kickstarter page that explains everything. And man, you got to see our artwork and all the fun stuff, right?
Man, someone worked really hard on that. There's a lot of inspiration that went into that, obviously. But man, I'm fired up for you, dude. I can see the passion about it in your eyes and the little twinkle that comes when you start talking about it. And I think it's going to be a great project. And I really hope folks get behind it. I think folks will. It's going to be exciting. And I love seeing as time has gone on, you've been more comfortable kind of like, you know, bringing out that inner thespian, right? You're like, let that inner thespian shine, Bo. Let him shine. And man, all this storytelling narrative that you're so gifted at, like, man, it's cool to see that now intersecting with your business. And I don't know, I'm excited for you, bud. I really am.
No, it's true. Longtime listeners will remember that it's been referenced before, but I was a thespian back in the day. And as a thespian who was also in choir that sang both tenor and bass, I was a bisexual thespian, which was, you know, something that I was always very proud to be. So yeah, man,
that's great.
Anyway, so yeah, no, check it out. Go to findeversale.com, learn more about it. You'll hear more about it in the coming weeks too, because man, we got some pirates and pipe tobacco. We've got some of the most premium pirates and pipe tobacco episodes coming your way. When I tell you that the stuff we've got coming down the road here for Country Squire Radio is like delicious,
it's clutch.
We have got, so right now you and I, we're in kind of that prep mode before the Las Vegas Pipe Show, which is, you know, about to go down. We're getting our bags packed, or our wives are actually getting our bags packed.
Yeah, tell me about
sure
it.
We don't forget everything.
Not because we're authoritarian.
We don't expect it of them.
Just
no, not at
we
all.
Can't.
Exactly. It is entirely because of our own inability, because we are. I was watching that episode of Seinfeld the other day where they're like, I'm not a man, I'm a child. that kind of thing. So yeah, we need all the help we can get. But man, yeah, we are we're getting ready, we're getting geared up, we're getting fired up. We've got some great content that we will be creating out there. And man, I'm so thrilled because in preparation, as we've kind of been building up for the weeks before, I had this idea of what if we did kind of a hangout with some of our club members, some of the people who are supporting us at patreon.com/countrysquireradio. And not just our patrons, but specifically for the club members. And it was very last minute. You know, folks heard it that episode last week. If you were able to listen to it, it was really, really awesome, the participation that we had. And I hope to do another one again really, really soon, although that might be more private, not necessarily for the show. But it was so great because we got like instant and immediate feedback and thoughts from some of the folks who have been supporting us over the years. And, you know, one of the things that really kind of shined in that was that people love the shop. They love the spirit of the Country Squire. Yeah. And I found that to be both encouraging in one sense, because obviously this year, as we've mentioned at the top of the year, our goal with a lot of the new series has been to bring the spirit of a mom and pop pipe tobacco shop into the audio space, like inviting people into the conversations that occur over a pipe, like that, you know, I know that warm and welcoming hub that we have known the Country Squire to be. And so I think that in some ways we checked that box, like that has been occurring.
Yeah, it felt good. Yeah.
Absolutely. But there is this other aspect, whereas like, well, while we do appreciate the ethereal nature to entering into that like headspace, right? We also kind of just like the shop. You know what I mean? Like the grittiness of the actual Country Squire. Hearing
it's gritty,
stories,
baby. It's gritty. It's got a patina.
What's a patina?
The patina, the coating, the little colorful stain that covers, you know, it's the patina, right? It's a well earned patina.
It's a well patinaed shop.
That's right.
but folks love hearing about the stories of all the individuals and the characters that kind of have woven their way intentionally or otherwise into like the history of this show and talking about it.
Yeah.
And so the idea was proposed for this concept of shop tales. Oh, woo, woo. Shop tales as DuckTales.
No, I caught that? It. Yep. I caught all it. Right,
right. Yeah. To kind of talk a little bit about the shop and kind of share, I thought it'd be kind of fun for maybe you and I to share some of our favorite memories from the shop or, you know, be it good, bad or otherwise, as I've only ever been there as a customer. You've got it all, baby.
See it all, baby. The good, the bad, the ugly, the hilarious, the borderline illegal, the all of the above.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Right.
Yep. Allegedly. Yeah.
That's it.
Well, man, so how do you want to do this? You want to go first?
Yeah, sure. Well, why don't you go first? I'd like that. Yeah, you go first. Go first.
All right. So I know we said let's bring two to the table, and I actually kind of brought three.
Yeah,
but one of them's kind of a cheat, to be fair.
Okay,
and so I want to start with that one actually.
Okay, good,
and because I want to start like I think on an upbeat note. I mean, they're all upbeat, but like I've experienced so many highs and lows. Like the highs and lows in my life when I was living in Jackson, specifically like as an adult, I found the shop was there. Like I found my way to the shop, and mostly because you're there. Like, let's be honest, it's because you're there.
Sure, yeah, I understand.
You,
that. Yeah,
man, absolutely. Like you're such a good friend, and you're also just, you know, you mention it all the time. Like it's that therapist that's in you. You know that you could never quite get away from.
Was it good enough to make it on its own? But you know, if you come in and buy an overpriced, you know, cigar. Bowl of pipe tobacco, then maybe you'll get something decent out of it.
Little free therapy mixed
right.
in. But that's the thing, man. Like the biggest celebrations, like I've wanted to come to the Squire. The biggest like frustrations, tragedies, or otherwise.
Yeah,
I was either at the Squire in person or in spirit because it was typically on your front porch with our guys group.
Yeah,
I want to kind of use my cheat one because this one is not a specific. The others are very specific, but this one's not a specific.
Yeah,
and that is one of the things I love. And have loved about the Country Squire is the way in which both you and the previous owners and the community, like the club, the Mississippi Pipe Club at the time, really created like a harvesty hearth of a party. Like whenever there was an event, be it like a pipe smoking, you know, long smoke competition,
yeah,
or if, you know, yeah, you had like somebody coming in bringing in some pipes, man, the tables, and this is in the old shop, but like the tables would fill up the space. You remember that? Like,
yeah,
you could barely kind of walk around them, and like just covered cakes and food, you know, somebody's wife's second cousin brought some brownies or something like that. And on top of that, because you had the package store like right down the way, premium, you had like one bottle of premium scotch that somebody else bought, right? Like, because they're just in that moment, they're feeling it, and they put it down. And it's surrounded by a bunch of different other like whiskeys and spirits. And of course, you got your bottle of Boodles there and everything else. And there was just always something about those events that just felt like a family reunion,
yeah,
even though you didn't know practically anybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like you had, yeah, so many people that showed up, and you got to know people through the process. But I just think about those early days, those early parties, and man, like the way in which, and I mean, like, I get that it's a collaboration, because that was, you know, the previous owners to an extent, very much you, and then also the Pipe Club at the time. It's this relationship, this collaboration that existed,
yeah,
to be,
yeah,
able to transform what was already a very welcoming place into like a hearty home for the holidays type feel.
Yeah.
And it was just late on a Thursday night, some random Thursday night in September. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's fantastic.
Man, that's wonderful, dude. I think that really, going back to that time period, that's kind of those were the formative years of our vision for what we're trying to recreate and establish and rekindle at the Squire, you know, and that's really true. You know, our business, during that season, you know, that was kind of where we got back into our skin and realized like, man, this is who we are. And man, when you come here, you're going to have an experience that's, you know, it's just beyond, it's beyond you. It's beyond pipe tobacco. It's just more than that, you know, and we want that. So that's
absolutely
great.
And the great thing too, is like, it was the local community in Jackson that were there, but you'd have people come from Memphis. You'd have like the Louisiana contingency would come. Like, we had like, it really felt like family.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, there was very much a family feel,
yeah,
in those events. And I think we all felt it, you know, digitally online, with, especially kind of with local, you know, the kind of the pocketed clubs and groups around Jackson that would kind of involve themselves in various Reddit groups or otherwise. But there was just that coming to the Squire. It's like a pilgrimage on a holiday type thing. It's just,
yeah,
it was so great.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, that's my first one. But like I said, that's kind of cheating, because it's not a specific. It's really more of like a season of the Squire.
And it's true. It was a season, and you know, it was really formative. And that kind of stuff carries through to our DNA now as we, you know, continue. It's evolved because our shop has grown and we have a larger clientele and a, you know, different footprint and all those things. But yeah, it really has you know, become a part of our fabric. And man, I pray it always stays that way. So,
hey, yeah. Amen. All right, man, you're up. What you got?
Okay, so I am going to pivot heavy.
That's good. I'll do my pivot heavy after this.
I'm going to pivot real heavy and reminisce on the time that our dear friend Pilgrim Zach came into the shop. And I know I've mentioned Pilgrim Zach on the air before. We've had discussions about him. And, you know, if you don't remember, this is the individual that I can't remember if it was like a Pipe Shop Fails episode, Bo, or what, where,
I think it was a pipe. I think it was the first ever Pipe Shop
where,
Fails
where,
episode.
You know, we introduced our greater listenership to Pilgrim Zach, but Pilgrim Zach, individual that came in and, you know, still comes in very occasionally, but he's an odd duck, you know, he's just an odd duck. You know, he gets his name because he asked me one day for a pen and piece of paper. I gave it to him. He walked to the other side of the shop and he diligently wrote down all these things. And then he brought me back the piece of paper and he said, okay, he looked at me very serious. And he said, these are things you need to do to grow your business. And then he handed me this paper and it was just all this. It's ridiculous. Like, it was just stream of consciousness, but not real words and all this
like
stuff.
Like Taylor the Von Druk or something like that.
Yeah.
Like,
so we call him Blaspheme the Pilgrims because one of the things was Blaspheme the Pilgrims, and you know, so we call him Pilgrim Zach because of that. But there was a Shornu the Downser and Morial, right, the Sweet, and
yes,
Validate the System and Moderate the System. And let me tell you, Bo, when I wake up every morning, I make sure to moderate the system because I know that the future of the Squire hangs in the balance. If I don't Depends moderate on. The system and sure knew the downser every day. So I'm very diligent to do that.
I'd like to think that I think that you have done all of those things. I feel like I've at least helped you in one regard, which is that in a way, I have blasphemed every single pilgrim,
every single country squire pilgrim.
Yes, by butchering their name.
Actually, literally, you have done that. We have all these pilgrims now that Pilgrim Zach foretold. He foretold these people, right? You can work that into your future, right. You know. And so he foretold them, and we blasphemed them on his behalf. And so I'm proud of that.
There
but
it is.
So I'm reintroducing you to Pilgrim Zach, telling you a story about this individual, to tell you another story, which is actually part of my memories today. And it's just, you know, when I think of things that happened at the Squire, some of the first things that pop into my mind are the most ridiculous and hilarious and just bizarre and crazy. And it's stuff like that all the time that's just popping up. And one of those things burned into my mind is when Pilgrim Zach walked into one day. And he bought it's been years ago. He bought a $90 Nording pipe. Okay, beautiful Nording.
Oh, okay, yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
It was just at that point, that same pipe today would be, you know, $150 pipe just with inflation and everything else.
Yeah.
But he bought this hand-finished Nording. It's beautiful. And, you know, one of his signature free hands and, you know, beautiful bent stem, real generous sized bowl. and Pilgrim Zach proceeds to go over to a chair in the lounge. And he filled the pipe up with straight Latakia and lit it with a torch lighter and then smoked it all the way to the bottom. After he got done, so we're all just like, okay, whatever, as long as he's happy, we're happy. You know,
his pipe now, go for it.
Right, yeah. Right. But that's not where the story ends about the pipe because the thing that happened after that is he got so angry. Apparently, he wasn't pleased with his experience of smoking an entire giant Nording bowl full of Latakia on his way out that day. He hesitated, stopped by the trash can, and he took that Nording pipe that he had just spent $90 on.
No,
he threw it away.
No, John David, no.
And he just threw it away. And I will never forget that. It's like one of those top five moments that's just like, that man just bought a gorgeous Danish pipe, abused it, blasphemed it,
right?
And blasphemed it from beginning to end, and then disrespected it, and then walked out. And it just the gall and even the courage, like it.
I mean, no, it's a statement, John David. That's what that is.
Statement.
That is a statement.
It was a statement, and I will say,
take that, Eric.
I will say Caleb Crawford went over to the trash. We were just stunned looking at each other.
Yeah.
And Caleb eventually walked over to the trash can, picked that pipe out, and now is the proud owner of that pipe still to this day.
Okay. So, I was actually going to ask about that because I'm thinking like, well, you
like,
know,
surely
I
someone
have...
fished it out of the trash can, right?
Well, actually, I've got a really nice Nording pipe that reeks of Latakia.
Well. Did you
which
buy
was
used
gifted
at the country squire?
I was gifted it. I was gifted it by Briar. And
oh,
so I was
okay.
Like, so yeah. I'm like, where did Briar get that? I thought that he was giving me one of his prized possessions. Did he fish this out of a trash can?
That's second or third degree kind of thing. You never know. Yeah.
Right. Oh, that's hilarious.
Yep. So Pilgrim Zach's defilement, blaspheming of the Nording definitely comes to mind for me.
Fantastic. Okay. All right. So I'm gonna pivot us even further down here. Okay, I don't know the year, but I know it was right at about, like, we was, so, you know, longtime listeners know that there was a company I had called Satchel.
Yeah.
That it was a startup, and very grateful to everybody that you know, got behind it, supported it, downloaded the app, and, you know, either participated in the beta or otherwise. But, you know, unfortunately, we couldn't make it work. But it was before we had launched the beta of that. I think it was like maybe the weekend before.
Yeah.
And we were having so many technical issues. We were trying to get everything worked out with Apple and Google and everything else. And I think I had gone to lunch with my aunt and uncle who were in town, who I never see. Like of all of my family, like they're the people I see absolutely the least.
Yeah.
And like we went out and had lunch with them. And I think the conversation was tense about something that had nothing to do with anything. And I remember leaving that dinner. My wife had to go back to work. And I was standing on the streets in downtown Jackson, just feeling the weight of this thing that I had been working on for months. Convincing Breyer to leave his job and then come do it. And I think at that point I'd also convinced somebody who had basically a free living situation in New York to not do that and stay back to be part of the start. Like I had all of these people that I had kind of built up these expectations for. And like, it was some stupid thing. I was sitting there with the beta in my hand and we were supposed to like launch it like in 2 days. And I pressed a button and the whole thing broke. And when I pressed that button, it wasn't just the app that broke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I didn't know what to do or where to go, but I was broken. Like I've like felt like it, I almost could like literally feel a cracking in like inside of me running up my spine into my head. You know what I mean? Like
I
was just broke. So my wife wasn't available because she had to, be at work. Family, we had kind of family in town and it was, I can't remember what the situation was, but for whatever reason, things were kind of tense at the time. Like I literally had nowhere else to turn.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I had somewhere to turn, John David, because I got in my car and I don't even remember what I skipped any meetings I had and just went straight to the Country Squire.
Yeah.
And by God's grace, there was maybe one person there. Like I think like one or two of like the dudes that are just always there, you know what I mean?
Yep.
But like for the most part, like you were in the back, and by God's grace, if you were busy, you didn't act like you were busy because I think you saw just kind of where I was. And I sat on the, it was at that point when the tobacco table was kind of in the back area of the shop. And I don't know if you remember this or not, but like I sat there and I just put my head on the tobacco counter and I just cried. And like talked through it. And you were just so kind, man. And like,
That's coming back now. I remember that.
Do you remember those?
Yeah, that's coming back now. Mm-hmm.
I was just so distraught and I had nowhere else. Like at that moment, for whatever reason, I didn't feel like I could go home. I didn't feel like I could go anywhere else. And just going to the Squire because I knew I could go to the Squire. And part of that is because I knew you were there. And the great thing is, even if you hadn't been, I knew that this would be a place where I could detox. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the great thing is, since you were there, great thing for me, probably not great for you, but the great thing for me was since you were there, it was like, oh, I can actually open up. You know what I mean? And I can... I could kind of pour some of this out. And man, you were so gracious to me. And we just kind of talked it out, talked through it. Anyway, I'm grateful to you, man.
Yeah.
I'm grateful to you. Obviously, I'm grateful to you, because you're such a dear friend and you're the kind of guy that, especially at that time in your life when you didn't have wife and children and everything else, all the rest, like you were so ready and willing, maybe sometimes not willing, because I know that a lot of people do this to you, but for those of us that you are ready and willing for, and that you reserve that for, you're willing to be kind of that shoulder to lean on.
Yeah.
Like to be kind of like someone to be able to lock arms with in the midst of, kind of the turmoil and the frustration, everything else.
Yeah.
And like, I'm just so grateful to you as a friend, but I'm also so grateful that, you created a space in the Country Squire, your shop. It's not just a place where people go buy tobacco. You know what I mean? Like that's an important part of it. By all means, please buy products from the Country Squire. But it can be a place where if you need a soft place to land, when everything's going rough, it was that for me. And I really appreciated that, brother.
Man, I'm glad to hear that. That's wonderful. I think that again, that's what we try to do is provide that for everybody. And it's harder to come by nowadays because things are so crazy. Right. But we still have those folks that come in and like when it really hits the fan, when the rubber meets the road and like times are really difficult. One of the first places I think to come is the doggone Country Squire, Isn't that crazy?
I was trying to think from memory, the guy that I remember being in there, like, and I don't know if he's still around or not, but really tall, skinny dude, mustache. Wears like a suit. You remember this?
Well, I don't know. Because, Bill Rutledge was there with us, who's now deceased. But Bill he was really short. Yeah, he was a shorter guy. Always wore a suit, real thin. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know who that would have been. Well,
that's my sad. It's sad, but it's in the sense that like it was a rough moment for me. But what's beautiful about it is that the squire was there to kind of catch me.
Yeah, so I really appreciate that. I'm glad, man. Well, you know, we need to pivoting back towards a little bit of levity. Every time you think of something crazy at the country squire, one of two people tend to come in your mind.
And
actually now one of three people as time has gone on, because we've developed a great cast of characters. But we mentioned Pilgrim Zach earlier in the show. And then, of course, we have our dear friend Bruce, who comes in, who has a squirt gun with his name on it. On the wall, so that when he acts up, we can squirt him with water to make him. And we've used that gun quite a bit, actually. But but of course, the original squirt gun belongs to someone very dear to us and to our show, and someone who we both love so much and who we love to spend time around and take time with fellowship, a genuine fellowship with, and that's the Hurricane.
The Hurricane, sir.
If you would say anyone is part of the ridiculous fabric of what we do at the Country Squire, the Hurricane is a patinaed thread that runs through that fabric. Oh, we love the Hurricane. So anyway, the Hurricane recently, this is a recent story. This happened within the past three weeks. He comes into the shop and is all giddy. Now the Hurricane generally, you know, after long week's work, he comes in the shop. It's a safe place. It's where he can be the most authentic Hurricane, right? I mean, he plays the, you know, responsible adult part out there, and he is a responsible adult, but he comes to the shop, and that Friday afternoon, the Hurricane really gets to shine. You know, it becomes his place where he can kind of let his guard down and just really tear things up. If he's a Hurricane, it's a category 5, right? At that moment.
Okay. All right. Yeah,
and
yeah,
so
yeah.
He was really excited. But this week he was particularly excited because he had just placed a bet with a coworker. And so that the following
with one of his coworkers, not one of
his
them.
One of his okay. coworkers, okay, at the Hurricane's work. So, and this true story. So he said that following Saturday, the next day, Mississippi State University, where the Hurricane and I went to college together, although we weren't friends back then, Mississippi State played LSU in football that weekend. Yeah. Okay,
right.
And to
just the ugliest teams in the world coming together to make just an ugly team. Got it. Yeah,
right.
I'm following.
And so Mississippi State and LSU played football that weekend, and they made a bet. His coworker, LSU fan, they made a bet. They said, okay, and our team was actually kind of favored to win because we're actually on, believe it or not, a little better team this year than they are, happens like once every 50 years or something. And so they made a bet. And the Hurricane bet this other individual that whoever's team lost the game, that person had to get a tattoo of the other team's logo on their body.
Ooh.
And they got like a 5 square inch patch of body that they could design.
Five inches is not small.
It was a
tattoo.
It was a big piece of real estate, right? And they were
wow.
like, so if the Hurricane lost, he would have to get a, you know, basically a 5x5 tattoo of the LSU Tiger Eye.
Go Tigers.
On his body. And then if LSU lost, then his coworker would have to get a, you know, a 5x5 Mississippi State Bulldog on his body, right? So the Hurricane was real cocky because he was like, hey, you know, this is the year and we've got a good team and all this kind of stuff. I got a good feeling we're going to Baton Rouge and I think we're going to win this one. So all that to say, Mississippi State lost that weekend. And this was just a few weeks ago. Now, since then we've won every game and we're having a great season. We're ranked like 16th in the country and we play like number 20 Kentucky tomorrow and we're favored to win. It's going to be exciting. But like we've had a great year, but like we lost that game and the Hurricane.
See, and some of y'all don't think God's at work.
And the Hurricane, the Hurricane, who has never gotten a tattoo in his life, and I just and who I knew would find some justification to back out of this. Okay. I just knew in my heart that, like, as ridiculous as he is, he'd be like, look, guy, here's like, here's a couple $100. Like,
what do I have to do?
Dinner. Yes. Like, you can give this to the LSU Tiger Fund or whatever. Like, just, you know, I'm not going to get a tattoo.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
The Hurricane today is the proud owner of a LSU Tiger tattoo on his rear end.
You've got to be kidding me.
On his rear end. And like,
no. And, seriously?
And then came to the shop to prove it.
Yeah, no, I was about to say, I'm sure a lot of folks got a.
So there's no Photoshop. There's no, people know at the Country Squire much more than they would like to know about the tail end of the hurricane. And it is tattooed in purple and gold this very day. And so
hot boudin, cold couscous. Come on, hurricane. Poosh, poosh, poosh.
It's something. So just one more thing. Yep. That's it.
All right. But, my goodness gracious, man. Well, so here's the thing, man. I think we've helped to bring kind of the spirit of the shop a little bit into some of our conversation and made a little thought provoking, that sort of thing. But, you know, I think this is good. It's nice to add the seasoning from time to time of some of the individuals and kind of moments like that are tied to the actual space of the shop itself. And it was interesting getting that feedback from our listeners. And we'd love to hear your thoughts on, what you thought about this one as well.
It's a lived experience. You can't, some of these things you just can't wash off, you know?
Oh, man. Well, you know, but there's some things that you don't want to wash off. And that's the feeling that you get after smoking a good quality corncob pipe from our friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
Man, that is exactly right.
Absolutely, man. Missouri Meerschaum, you know, makers of quality corncob pipes, also have some incredible clay pipes as well. This is a history company that's got so many different shapes and styles. Like, one of the things that you might not imagine is when you think of corncob and pipe is the word innovation. Now, if that's not the case for you, it's probably because you're not deep in the pipe world, because you know that pipes are filled. The history of pipes are filled with innovation. And when it comes to corncob pipes, the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum are always pushing the envelope on innovation and like finding that next great thing. But they're also all about getting back to their roots. For example, have you checked out the Maddox corncob pipe in part of the Back to Our Roots series from Missouri Meerschaum? If you head over to corncobpipe.com, you can find it there. It is such a cool shape. You know, it's got all of these different pipes in this series, from the bracken to the bone, really kind of expand your vision of what you might expect from a corncob pipe. And they're all quality from our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
That's right, Bo. Go to corncobpipe.com, pick your Missouri Meerschaum Maddox today. And of course, they'll ship it right to your front door. And when you talk to the folks at Missouri Meerschaum or if you ever interact with them, be sure to tell them the folks at Country Squire Radio sent you.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts
to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Question of the week.
Pipe question of the week this week is coming in from me. That's right, John David. I got one for you.
Oh, look at that.
I know. So I'm trying to constantly like expand my knowledge in different ways. And also lately I've been kind of, you know, trying to prep for Vegas and wanting to make sure that I'm not a total idiot when I'm talking to people. And I think we all know that, you know, you are a seasoned and celebrated tobacconist in the pipe world. When people think about like, you know, kind of like the face of the modern pipe tobacconist, like the John David Cole face, maybe not you specifically, but your face is what comes up.
That's disturbing and so wrong. Yep.
Well, this is the thing. You yourself are a student of tobacco. The reason why you make such quality products is because you are well educated in this place, not just from the lived experience of blending so many quality tobaccos, but also you're constantly seeing what's out there, what's new, what's going on in the industry, and also kind of looking deep into the past as well for techniques and kind of the history that exists. So here's my pipe question for you, man. Of all the knowledge base that you have access to, the textbooks, maybe it's websites, maybe it's, you know, maybe it's a secret Discord that only tobacconists are on, whatever it may be. Like of all the things that you personally have access to, what has been like your top source for tobacconist knowledge?
Man, this is a great question because there's a lot of sources out there, but a lot of them are actually hard to get your hands on because, you know, some of this stuff is kind of historic and some of it's not just super available anymore because some of the books that are there are out of print or, you know, there's even been, you know, some pamphlets that have been, you know, Xeroxed and passed around, you know, different pipe smokers for years and that type of thing. But yeah, there are some resources that are out there that have been really helpful to me. And none of these resources are really totally comprehensive, but like there's resources that I tend to turn back to on different occasions, just when I'm kind of musing or have a thought or maybe a question, or I'm trying to, you know, kind of reacquaint myself with something. And the first one, I've got two. The first one I'll mention is one that is harder to get. And it's a book that's out of print. We've actually discussed it on the air before. And before I wanted to mention this, I actually wanted to mention that it's available out there somewhere. And you are able to find this now on eBay and Amazon. There are a few copies floating around, but it is Milton Sherman's book, All About Tobacco. Published in 1970. It's a book that we have discussed before and maybe even read some segments from, if I'm remembering right. But man, this is a great book. And it really goes from beginning to end: pipes, cigars, cigarettes, how tobaccos are made, how tobaccos are blended, etiquette. There's a lot of really, really good material here, but it's old fashioned and it dates from a period where pipes are king. And so it's just assuming the person that's reading this book, All About Tobacco, is a pipe enthusiast and is coming at it from that vein. And I love that. It makes me happy. It reminds me of those days where, man, if you were successful and wanted to show it, you didn't go buy a Rolex, or maybe you did, but you definitely went and bought a fancy new Sheraton or a Dunhill or something of that nature. And you strutted around with it. And man, pipes were just ubiquitous. And man, it's just kind of a neat historic book. And so All About Tobacco by Milton Sherman. I've turned to that book quite a bit and love it very much. I've got a couple copies and it, of course, been out of print for years. But if you can find it, it might be something that is of interest to you.
Man, you talk about old fashioned. I'm looking at some of the pictures here and like these are like the, you know, the sketched on pictures and everything.
Oh yeah.
You know, like I don't know. There's just something about like the sketched out pipe with that amount of detail. You know what I mean? That's kind of put into and like even with like
a lot of pencil drawings, right? Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Really, really neat. But anyway, great book. And if you've got some extra coin to spend and do want a collectible item that is all, you know, related to, you know, just the history of tobacco and a good resource, I've just really fallen for that book and have turned to it time and time again over the years. Another resource that anyone can get if you have the World Wide Web is a website. And that's it's not our trade organization's website, but it is how professional tobacconists become certified as a tobacconist. There is an organization called Tobacconist University. And if you go to tobacconistuniversity.org, great hub of resources for, you know, folks that are just interested in tobacco, whether you actually want to become licensed or not. And lots of, you know, videos and articles and material there that you can connect with. But you know, really just the information they have on that website alone has been helpful to me as well when I need to discuss or, you know, look into different varietals or, you know, just anything related to tobacco history or etiquette, or, you know, if I've got a question on how other smoke shops do something, that has been a good resource for me as well. And just as an aside, and it, you know, Tobacconist University isn't paying me to say all this by any means, but, but, you know, you can, as a consumer, you know, who loves to smoke pipes and is, you know, interested in pipe tobacco and passionate about the hobby and about, you know, being a tobacco enthusiast, you can get certified as a certified consumer tobacconist. That is a credential that you can get.
Whoa.
And so, and it actually has been for a while now. So if you go to their website,
I bet Russ has that. I'm
you know, who Russ has it is Pylorns. Pylorns is a certified consumer tobacconist and has had that for a while. It's really, really a cool program they came out with. It's a lot of the same curriculum, obviously, that we take as folks that are in the industry. And, you know, it's a credential that, you know, is very recognized in our circles. And so anyway, but if you go to tobacconistuniversity.org and check that out, you can look into that more. But anyway, just a really neat organization, and you know, we love what they do and support that. So anyway, something you might want to check out.
Awesome. Well, good stuff, man. Thanks for that. And, hey, if you've got a pipe question for us, send it into the show. That is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
All right, man. Listener feedback coming in from Brian McNiv.
McNevin.
He says, hey, JD. Oh, right. That's my bad. He says, hey, JD and Bo, I just wanted to thank you for truly massacring my name in the last episode. I can honestly say that I have never heard it pronounced so interestingly before. And I humbly thank you both. Knowing that you actually know how to pronounce Irish and Scottish names makes me feel especially welcomed once more into the Country Squire fold. Cheers.
Poor Brian. Well,
Brian McNiven. Oh, McNiven.
Oh, man.
Absolutely, Brian. We got you. Thank you so much for that. Also, this next one coming in from Alexander. What did Alexander?
Alexander says, I just wanted to message you to say how very thankful I am for your podcast. I've listened for years and you guys are always there when needed. I recently got knocked back at work for a promotion, but sitting back in the shed, listening to you and smoking some brown Irish aniseed twist in my MacArthur 5-star gave me time to reflect. Learn from their feedback and ready for the next time. Sounds odd, but listening to you both makes it feel as if I'm sat with friends talking and piping. There's truly no better medicine than that. And that's from Alexander Stewart. Alexander, thank you so much, man. We're just glad that we're there with you and honored to be a part of your rhythm and ritual. And man, we're pulling for you on the next promotion round. And glad we can soothe the pain a little bit.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, guys, thank you all so much for sending that feedback in. If you've got some feedback for us, you can send it in the show. That's show@countrysquireradio.com. You can also follow us on Twitter @SquireRadio or find all of our contact information and more at countrysquireradio.com. Hey, you know, something I should mention, you know, obviously I want to encourage folks to check out findeversale.com for the you know, the Pirate's Daughter and the audio drama campaign that we're trying to build up towards. But I want to also mention that as part of that, we'll be doing a little bartending with Bo over on the Country Squire Radio YouTube channel. So, and not only will it be me, but my wife will be there as well.
Mrs. Bo will be featured. She'll, wow. Well, that's great.
If you're going to make some cocktails, you got to bring
the big guns in. No, absolutely. That's right. That's great, man. That's exciting.
So join us there at the YouTube channel for that. They'll be going on for the next couple of weeks. And find eversale.com is the place to check that project out. Man, John David reflected on some good times, some good friends, and you know, how the Country Squire has played through it all.
I think there's more tales to come, funny and sentimental and serious and romantic and nefarious and otherwise.
More tales to come. I love it. Well, hey, man, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.